Do you want to make a difference in the world?
And see the lives of the people of India and all internationals transformed with the gospel?
As India goes, all Asia will go with.
Living the Dream podcast provides tools for you to pray, give, and go
as you become an active participant in the Great Commission
and help your church's demographic represent the demographic of your community.
Get ready to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India and your host for Living the Dream podcast. This is where the church gathers to mobilize in order to effectively reach the community and change the world, including all the foreign-born internationals moving into our communities. I interview today's top church leaders from around the world so we can learn all we can about reaching internationals with the gospel and partnering with them in the Great Commission. It's time the church has this conversation. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources for tools for your success. Now, let's jump into today's show.
Okay, buckle up, people. I've got an amazing guest on today's show. You're about to meet Pastor Sammy Ju. He is from Seoul, Korea. He and his wife, Debbie, have four children. Pastor Sammy holds a bachelor's in linguistics and international law from a university in Korea. He has a master's from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and a doctorate from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Sammy is the teaching pastor at Point Church International and also serves the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina as their senior consultant for Asian ministries. There, he is regularly consulting and training Asian leaders around the state of North Carolina. One more thing you might not know about Pastor Sammy is that he is a heavy metal guitar player. Pastor Sammy says most people think that he is a great handyman, but really he's not at all. Will you please put your hands together and welcome my guest, Pastor Sammy Ju, to Living the Dream podcast.
Well, thanks so much for welcoming me. I'm very excited about what God is going to do through this ministry, and excited to share what God has been doing in my ministry, in my life as well.
Yeah. Well, I am so thankful that you are here in America. It didn't start out there. So why don't you help us to get to know Sammy? And you were made in Korea. Tell us about that. And how did the Lord bring you to North Carolina?
Yes, I'm made in Korea, as Kevin mentioned. So I was born in Korea, grew up in Korea, and I got married in Korea, had my first child in Korea. Mm-hmm. And both me and my wife and my first one, she was 8 months old when she came to America. So three of us came mm-hmm. to the United States in January 8th, 2001. So, mm-hmm. which is about almost 19 years ago.
Yeah, that was right at 9/11.
Right before 9/11.
Right before, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we went through a lot of changes within about 7 or 8 months.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
It was a very interesting time. But we came as students. We were international students.
We
started in Golden Gate Seminary, Baptist Theological Seminary, mm-hmm. as a master student. So we lived in California about a year and a half, and then we moved to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. To study further at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. So
we're
there about 4.5 years, and then God has opened the door for us, for me to work full-time for international student ministry. So that was 2007. We came to North Carolina, ended up being here. So it's been about 13, 14 years in North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, welcome. I know it's your home now. And
yes.
I was born and raised in North Carolina. I've always loved calling North Carolina home, but I hope that it has become a home for you and Debbie and the children now, your family.
Yes, definitely.
Tell us about your story of faith. You were obviously already called into the ministry before you came. Were you born to a Christian family there in Korea?
Yes, I was born to a Christian family. In fact, I'm a fourth generation Christ follower and a third generation pastor. But I came to Jesus when I was about 23 years old. 23 years old.
Yeah.
So let me unpack my story a little bit. As I mentioned, I was born into a Christian family. My father was a radio pastor. He was supposed to be a farmer, but God called him to be a minister in the church. He was a pastor in a very small church. He planted a church, and we're very poor. So I still remember my small and very tiny house that all four of us, including my sister, lived together. And it was very tough, but I really remember my childhood was very memorable and enjoyable. But growing up in a Christian family, my house was literally in the church building because that's how normally pastors' family live mm-hmm. in Korea. They don't have a separate house. They normally live in the church building. They have, if they have a church facility. So I was one of them. Mm-hmm. So my life was revolved around church, 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 school, church, school. So I was a very typical Christian kid with a lot of expectation from my parents and from my church members, because they thought, almost all of them thought that I would be a pastor for sure, because I was good kid and, you know, just following all the rules and regulations. And I was even leading youth group as a youth leader. And when I went to college, I became a college leader. And so it was just the Christianity, being in the church, being in the worship services on Sunday. And those were just regular part of my life. And I didn't feel any uncomfortableness with that. But when I was in junior year in college, one of my father's friends confronted me. He was a pastor, very spiritually deep man. And he asked me a very simple question. And he asked me, say, Sammy, do you know the gospel? Mm. And then I thought it was the dumbest question I ever heard, because I mean, he knows me. I'm a pastor's son, grew up in a Christian home all my life. And so if he were truly spiritual man, he would know my spiritual condition, and he would know what my upbringing was. And so he would not ask those kind of questions. So I was confused why he was asking me that question. Like, why do you ask me? Of course, I know the gospel. You know, that's what my life is about. I've heard it. I've lived with it. And yeah, of course. But whenever I met him, he asked me the same question over and over and over again. So I was very humiliated and angry. So I stopped meeting with him. But God began to work in my life through that question. The question really bothered me. And then I began to ask, do I really know the gospel? What does that mean? What did he mean? So I began to read the Bible, but this time was very different from previous ones, because whenever I read the Bible, it was very convicting me, and in a negative way. Like everywhere I read scripture, it was pointing me to my sin. And I became very, very desperate for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Like, God, you got to forgive me. Everything I lived and everything that I thought was simple. And so I became very, it was very difficult for me. And I prayed for forgiveness, and I prayed a sinner's prayer probably mm-hmm. several times in a day. And I've even counted how many times I did a sinner's prayer. Mm-hmm. And then one day I prayed about 70 times.
Wow.
Just for the sinner's prayer, but my heart was not peaceful. So it went pretty long, probably about 2 years. And I was gripped in guilt and shame and all those things. But in September 2000, so almost 19 years ago, 20 years ago, I was reading scripture. It came to Hebrews 10:10. It says, Jesus died once for all.
Amen.
And then that verse became reality to me.
Praise God.
I mean, I read that part so many times, but it was very different that mm-hmm. day. Mm-hmm. And I experienced the power of Jesus's blood, that Jesus' sacrifice once for all, it was sufficient mm-hmm. enough to forgive all my sins. And I, first time in my life, experienced the power of the forgiveness, the power of the gospel, mm-hmm. that Jesus died for me and he rose from the dead to give eternal life and to justify me before the Lord. So I became born again that day. I experienced the tremendous grace of God. God saved me that day. And already I was married at the time. That was first year in my marriage.
Okay.
And I told my wife that I was saved, and she was, of course, overjoyed with me. But she was like, oh, I married this pastor's son, but I never realized that, you know, my husband would come to know Christ after, you know,
yeah,
all those years. So it was good.
Mm-hmm.
There, I was very blessed. And 3 months later, God led me to pray for 15 days. And I didn't know why 15 days, but I did. And the last day of 15 day, he spoke in my heart very clearly. And he gave me a calling to missions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, honestly, I did not have any plan for missions. But God spoke to me that day with this very crystal clear calling for missions. Mm-hmm. And that was 15 days before I came to America.
Mm-hmm.
So I received that calling on the December 24th, I believe. And then I came to America on January 8th, 2001. Little did I know that I was called as a missionary to America, because I thought America was a Christian country and there's so many missionaries being sent out from the United States. So why would they need a missionary from Korea? So mm-hmm. I didn't really know about it. But later I realized that God really called me for missions in the United States to lead people to Jesus. So mm-hmm. moving fast forward, I came to America as a missionary, and I changed all my major from church history to the missions
mm-hmm.
in my seminary time. And then in 2002, in the fall, God led me to a Korean pastor in Louisville, Kentucky, and he was doing international student ministry. And then he told me that, hey, Sammy, do you want to come? So I came. And then it just changed my life. It was a small, I mean, it was not a small school. It was the University of Louisville, but in the library cafeteria, the Korean pastor was leading Friday lunch for international students. Mm-hmm. And there were about 20, 25 international students. All of them were medical students. So they were super bright
mm-hmm.
students. And then many of them were Chinese students. And some of them, the others were from Cameroon and some other from Arabic speaking countries. So mm-hmm. it was a very pretty diverse group.
Yeah.
But it was very simple. 15 minutes meeting, they're eating lunch for about 30 minutes. And this pastor was teaching the Bible about 10 minutes and then another 10 minutes discussion. And then they dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
So I participated in the meeting probably about 2-3 times. And then this pastor said, hey, Sammy, now it's yours. Mm-hmm. And then he handed off to me.
Wow.
Right there. So mm-hmm. yeah, he put me on a spot and he moved on. He moved on to another department in the same school, and then he started another meeting. So I was in panic, like, what are you doing to me? And that was my first hand experience working with international students.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, until 2017, for 15 years, I was doing the international student ministry. 4 years as a volunteer and 10 years as a full-time staff at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been really great mm-hmm. time. And then in 2017, God opened another door, still at the State Convention, to work for Asian ministries.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in this new role for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I really appreciate you taking time to really detail that out. So let's go back and just highlight a few points there. I love that you said that you're a third generation Christ follower. I don't know many Americans that really identify themselves as the generation in which their family became Christ followers. I just think that that's a value that we should appreciate whenever it comes to foreign-born internationals, is constantly, as I travel over in India, you meet believers and they'll say, well, I'm first generation, or I'm second generation Christ follower. We just have a hidden view here in America of what that's like, because we live in a majority where most of our ancestors, the prior generations, were already serving the Lord, already identifying themselves as Christians. I just think it's noteworthy of that. But then to some degree, even though most Americans did not grow up living in a house church the way that you did, they had to be confronted. We all needed to be confronted with the very same question that you were. Do you know the gospel? Because we've identified nationally that we're a Christian nation. Our families, for the most part,
historically have identified themselves as Christians. And so we can grow up saying, well, we are Christian, but there's that need for that question. But do you know the gospel? Have you heard the gospel? And so I really appreciate you sharing that, because to some degree, you even relate to the environment that you were moving into when the Lord brought you to America. Another thing that I just appreciate that you shared is just a story about coming to America and the high calling that God gave you, the 15 days of prayer and the sense of calling that you got. And God could have called you to stay right there in Korea and be a missionary there. And probably in most Americans' minds, that's when we think of missionaries, we think of people who leave America and go somewhere else. And yet for 20 years, I've been over back and forth to India, and I'm constantly asking our brothers and sisters there, don't think that we're here to save you. You should be praying for America as much as we're praying for India, because America's a sleeping giant at the moment, and we need revival. I really hope the church hears that we are serving a God in His sovereignty that is bringing people to Himself in other countries and then calling them to come to the U.S. to be a missionary here. So anything else you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think that's a mutual partnership, that God is raising up missionaries from all around the world to impact one another. Mission field becomes mission force. And the world is now more connected through technology and everything. So this should not be one way, but it should be both way communication and interaction with the gospel of Christ. Because with my own experience, I shared a few minutes ago, Christian country, let's say so-called Christian country, quote unquote, are not necessarily safe in their, the spiritual status, because they need some outside people to come and ask questions like, are you really walking with Christ? Are you really following the Lord? Because we need to check on one another to really see that we are really in a genuine faith in the Lord. Because of when I first, before I was called for missions, before that, the 15 days prayer, I thought I was called to my own church in Korea, because like you said, you know, it's no brainer. If you're saved and now you're a brand new person, and now you see that mission field right around you, right? Because I saw that my church people in my home church, that if I were not saved as a pastor's kid, how much more would the other people could be confused, who could be, they were not even thinking if they were really walking with Christ. They come to church on Sunday and they take Bible lessons and they pray time to time, and they think that they're a good Christian, but they may not. So they really need to think through. I was thinking that I was called to my own church because there could be some unsaved people in the church, but God brought my views, and then God was saying to me, like, you are a missionary and come to America and you share the gospel. So I realized later on that there are so many churched people even in the South, the Bible Belt, but there could be quite a number of them are not even saved, and they need to be challenged with a very simple question. Do you know the gospel? Do you really know Christ?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people know about gospel, but they don't know the gospel. There's a big difference between informational knowledge and the transformational knowledge.
That's true. You are a good example of the point that I've been making on the podcast, and that is we need our brothers and sisters from other nations to be in our churches here in America. We have come a long way in America of measuring diversity between the mix of blacks and whites. And it's been in my lifetime that white churches have become racially mixed and black churches have become racially mixed. But it's now 2020 and there's millions of foreign-born internationals living here. And yes, for well over 10, 15 years, there's been some international churches, and there's been Korean churches and Chinese churches. Probably everyone in America has been exposed to the nations coming and having their church, but we need the nations in filtered, mixed in with the American churches, not just for representation purposes, but also just for the witness of Christ, because I don't know really many Americans that can testify that God led them to a 15-day prayer, or God led them to 2 years of repentance and then unleashed Hebrews 10:10 on them. And just the calling that you have as a missionary, you know, it seems even in the atmosphere when I was growing up was you go to church, you get your fire insurance, you get your certificate of eternal life, and you're a Christian. And there's really not a whole lot more about that. I'm writing a book right now to just really beat the drum that there is so much more. And, you know, how God has been teaching me to just ask Him for more on a regular basis, and how I've been allowed to experience and receive and give more than I ever thought possible. And it's been the faith that I've seen in India and other places of the world that have that has really boosted my faith. And I want that for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm really glad you're here. Another thing that we should celebrate is that this, in God's sovereignty, He's really lowering the burden on the American church to be the only provider of the gospel to the foreign-born internationals. I mean, I want people to hear God captured Sammy's heart for Him and then brought him to America so that he could be a part of the solution here of being a witness for Christ to the foreign-born internationals here. Not that I'm saying, Pastor Sammy, you're only allowed to minister to the foreigners. I'm sure you have an incredible ministry to Americans. Praise God for that. But you are helping the church here, the Big C Church, to really be effective in the witness to foreign-born internationals. So share with us, what has God put in your hand now? You're working with North Carolina Baptist, with also Pastor Chris Hankins at the Point Church. What's your ministry at this moment?
Yes, I wear a few hats. One of them is Asian Ministries Consultant at Baptist Day Convention of North Carolina. And other one is a volunteer, the staff at the Point Church International as a teaching pastor. So for Asian Ministries and the pastoral ministry at Point Church have been about 2-3 years. But it's a little bit different. First of all, my full-time work at the State Convention is mostly consulting work. There are about 130 Asian Southern Baptist churches in North Carolina, and about 27 different languages are spoken every Sunday. But there are still other language groups that they don't have their own worship service in their heart languages. So there's still a lot of need. But my primary role is to work with the lead or pastors or staff leaders, the church leaders among those Asian churches, to really grow in four folds. It's an ABCD.
Okay.
A is advancing gospel proclamation. So I really want this Asian pastors and leaders to preach Christ-centered, the gospel-centered message every Sunday, trying to help them to preach expository or gospel-centered preaching. And B is building disciple-making strategy. Christ has commanded us to make disciples of all nations. But a lot of churches don't really have a clear vision or strategy, right? Proper strategy to accomplish that. So I'm trying to help them to make a strategy. Now, C is connecting first-generation immigrants and the next-generation immigrants for the Great Commission, because there's a lot of divisions, even in the Asian churches, because of cultural and linguistic barrier between first generation and second generation. Now, what I mean by the first and second generation is the first generation immigrants are the ones who were born and grew up in their home countries, like myself, who came to America later in their time. So they speak their own mother tongue and speak English as a second language, whereas second generations are the ones who were born and grew up in the United States. So they are Asian Americans. They are Asian, I mean, American citizens, but they look Asian and they still have the Asian cultural, the influence and heritage, but they prefer to speak in English, just like my children, because I speak Korean to them and they speak back to me in English. So we have interesting dynamic conversation going on every day. So, but that leads to sometimes some conflicts within the family and within the church. So there's a big gap, tension between the first and second generations in the church. But I really do see and believe that the Great Commission, the Gospel-Centered Great Commission, can bring them together mm-hmm. to be on mission together. So I'm trying to help these Asian churches to be, to have a unity between first and second generation being on the gospel. And the fourth one, D, is developing leadership pipeline. Because of the tension that I just mentioned, there's no continued relationship, I mean, with leadership. So a lot of immigrant churches are finished up in within a first generation, and then they're not continuing. Mm-hmm. So I see that a lot of problems among a lot of Asian churches. So I'm trying to help these churches to envision for the future to be intentional in raising up the leaders. So A, B, C, D, my major objectives and goals to help churches to grow in that. But behind all of this, there's an underlying vision that I received from God in 2004 when I was in Southern Seminary, and I was already doing international student ministry. Mm-hmm. It was my third year being on the international ministry. In the seminary class, God prompted in my heart with clear vision of raising 21st century Moses. As God met Moses in the wilderness and sent him back to Egypt to bring the people to the promised land, God has a special plan for those 21st century Moses mm-hmm. in the United States. Mm-hmm. They could be first generation immigrants or second generations, third generations. Mm-hmm. But God can meet those 21st century Moses here and send them back to their people, send them back to their countries to bring their people to Jesus Christ. So that was a fresh vision, and it's still my passion and vision, the motivation to do this ministry. So it's I dedicated my life to raise up 21st century Moses. And then those ABCD, the strategy that I just mentioned, it is coming out of that, the overall vision. So in the Hebrew chapter 11, verses 24, 25, that Moses refused to be called as Pharaoh's son, but he chose to suffer with the people of God. And we know the rest of the story. Moses might have an identity crisis at some point, but even though he was a prince of Egypt, but he refused to be called by that. And his identity, he found his new identity being a Hebrew mm-hmm. and being a people of God. So even though it was a hard, difficult calling, but he chose to suffer with the people of God, whereas he could, you know, enjoy all the luxury of palace life and all. So it became my main message whenever I talk with this international people, Asians, and even non-Asian, foreign-born people, that I keep communicating the message that you are 21st century Moses. You are 21st century Moses. God can use you mm-hmm. to lead your people, lead your country to Jesus Christ. Mm. So for this Asian ministries, I consult and coach people with the same message that I just mentioned. And also in my church, the Point Church International, I planted this international church before this Point Church International. I planted a church called the NET Church. That's NET stands for Nations Engaged Together. Mm-hmm. So even from the beginning, we had a DNA to be multi-ethnic with the purpose of raising up 21st century Moses. So I planted church in 2011, mm-hmm. so 9 years ago, mm-hmm. and I focused on international students for first 4 or 5 years, and then God began to bring some refugee families of my church. Mm-hmm. It was 2014 and 15, mm-hmm. and then slowly became our multi-generational church, mostly refugees. We do have some international students, but the population decreased because my job changed from college. International college ministry to Asian ministries, but we still have the refugee multi-generational population, mm-hmm. not only from Asian countries, but from Africa, Middle East, and South America, literally everywhere. Yeah, so it's a very diverse group. And then we joined the Point Church. We merged with the Point Church in 2017. Mm-hmm. So we changed our name from Net Church to Point Church International. So it's been Point Church International for the last two and a half years, mm-hmm. no, almost 2 years, yes. But with the same vision, raising up 21st century Moses, yeah. raising up 21st century Moses. So it's our overarching goal and mm-hmm. vision that drives all my ministries.
Pastor Sammy, I hope you regularly praise God for this clarity that he has given you, because that is such clarity. And I'm just praying as you're sharing this, that there'll be somebody on this audience listening to this podcast that God has just captured their heart, and they're just wondering, what is this going to look like? Well, right here, it's as simple as A, B, C, and D. I would just encourage you to really pray over the A, B, C, and D that Pastor Sammy just laid out and this vision. And we are seeing that. We are seeing God bring people here that they are already ambassadors for the gospel, and they are being used of God to really be a part of the solution of fulfilling the Great Commission and bringing forth the presence of Christ into people's lives here. But we're also seeing God bring millions of foreign-born internationals that are absent to the gospel, but they come to the U.S. and God captures their heart. They trust him only for salvation, and they return as ambassadors for the gospel. And I just join with you, my brother, in this vision of 21st century Moses, and just say, press on. May the Lord enlarge your camp there and give you favor in that. What an incredible vision. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you.
And now, a story from the mission field.
So we have probably all seen bees' nests growing in the outside of buildings all throughout the U.S., in our homes and in barns and in buildings. And all of a sudden, you'll look up and maybe there'll be a 2-inch round bees' nest with yellow jackets and bees on it, wasps on it. And then you'll actually see, maybe you'll see 4-inch nest or 6-inch nest. And probably in other places around the U.S., you're going to see very large nests. Well, if you go over to Manipur, India, you're going to see nests that are over a foot wide, 2 foot wide at times. And what you're going to notice is that the locals will go into the forest and they will hunt and harvest these bees' nests. And so they smoke the bees out, or somehow they get it to where there's no live active bees, but they bring the bees' nest into their homes and they begin to harvest the larva out of the bees' nest, the bee larva. Those baby bees that have not yet developed, they open up all the pods and they get all of the bee larva out. They steam it, cook it, add their chili peppers, their seasoning, and that is a delicacy to them. Their taste buds are incredibly happy when they can enjoy bee larva. And as a guest there in their homes, they are going to, if at all possible, offer you bee larva. Get ready. Let's go to India.
We want to give some local love to Mark Martek at Power Secure Inc. here in North Carolina. Power Secure is a leading provider of energy solutions in distributed generation, energy storage, renewables, and energy efficiency. In addition to grants and charitable donations, Mark is an incredible witness for Christ and international missions. He and his wife, Patty, are founding members of the Hope for Haiti Foundation and the annual Rock Your World charity concert. Through their generosity, they have not only provided electricity locally, but have brought energy solutions across the globe. Mark, we salute you for your generosity. Check out their website at powersecure.com.
Global Hope India empowers the church in India through multiple channels. One of the most influential methods has proven to be sending individuals on short-term trips to India. During your 10 days in India, you will make a difference, be the hands and feet of Jesus, and see the lives of Indian internationals transformed by the gospel. We have opportunities in children's ministry, women's ministry, job training, medical missions, and more. Experience a life-changing adventure. If you're looking to make an impact, India is the place, and GHI is the opportunity. See our trips at globalhopeindia.org/go.
Know your numbers. Maybe you've seen the show Shark Tank, and you've seen the business owners come in to pitch to the sharks and explain why they're the right person to execute the vision for their business. Well, we believe that you are the right person to execute the vision for your church, and you need to know your numbers.
Okay, one of our favorite research banks is Pew Research Center. And in 2015, they did a study and found that Christians are the largest religious group in the world.
7.3 billion people alive on planet Earth today, and 31% of the Earth's population identify and affiliate themselves as Christian. 24% say that they are Muslim. 16% say they have no religion. 15% identify as Hindu, and 7% identify as Buddhist. Know your numbers. Every number is a soul. It's important every church staff and volunteer know the numbers.
What are your observations? I just shared, you know, the two streams. I see people coming here absent and returning as ambassadors. What are you seeing God do? You've been here several decades now, and really in North Carolina, and partnering with Point Church now and Point Church International and helping North Carolina Baptists. So what are you seeing God do as far as fulfilling Revelation 7, 9 through 12?
Yes. Yeah, God is work, and he is raising up 21st century Moses for his glory.
Hallelujah.
And yeah, it's been very exciting to see the people from all nations with different languages come and praise God together and being raised up as leaders, 21st century Moses, to bring the gospel back to their home. So, for example, you know, my church, we started in 2011 with three people, one Indian student, one Chinese student, and one Mexican carpenter. So they were the founding members of my church. And it was very low key. We didn't have any structure. I did not ask them to call me as pastor. You know, I just asked them, like, I'm your brother, the brothers in Christ. It was very low key, and it was good. And one Chinese, the student that we started with, he was not a believer, but he came to Christ and he became a leader in church, and then very active. And this Indian student, he was already a believer, but he was with us about a few months, and he had to go to California as an engineer. He graduated from NC State, but he got a job, but we still got connected with him. Even from the beginning, I could see that God was saving these people, these internationals. But he's not just saving them, but he's calling them to serve in different areas and for God's glory. Now, moving fast forward, we still have diverse group. Now, we have refugees, my church. Now, they're different from international students in many different ways, because their status, immigrant status, and their income level, and the education, and it's all different. However, we see that God is using them in whatever capacity they are. God is using the first generation, the parents, but mostly on the second generations. These are young people, like middle school, high school. When they came here, they spoke their own language, the mother tongue only, but they are learning, picking up English much quicker than their parents. And there's a huge door open for us to minister to them, and then they can minister back to their parents, and they can minister among their peers.
Yeah.
So it's been very good, exciting to see this young people are rising up as leaders as well. Because, for instance, there's a guy from Congo. He is still a teenager. He's just like a normal kid. He loves to play and all. But one day, one of our staffs was sharing the gospel, and he was very serious. He was listening to that. But there was another guy, there were other probably two or three friends of him were standing around and playing. But he began to translate this gospel message into his friends in their language. So these friends were also listening to the gospel at the same time. And like, wow, this is amazing. You know, it's just these kids can speak both languages. They are bilingual. So they can be in both culture. They can be the bridge between their mother culture and the culture here. So they share the gospel in both languages. So I saw that this is something that 21st century Moses can contribute to the kingdom, that they are the bridges. They can go back to their countries and they can stay here, but they can still do that through online and technology to bring the gospel back to their people. So I saw amazing things going on. Now, last September 2019, I went to Myanmar with my two Myanmar guys. One of them is a pastor, another one is a lay leader. For the security purpose, I will not tell their names, but they are great brothers. Now, they came as refugees about 18 years ago from Myanmar to the United States. But they have not been back to their home countries during this 18 years. So when I went to Myanmar with them, it was their first time going back to their home countries ever since they came to the United States. So they were nervous at the same time, as much as I was nervous, because it was my first trip to Myanmar. I don't speak any Burmese language, nothing. I went there as a dummy. But my friends, they came with me, so I was very thankful. Now, I didn't know, honestly, what God was going to do through this trip, because it was my new trip to Myanmar, and my two Burmese guys haven't been back to their country for a long time. So we had more concerns and questions than the answers when we first got there. But we were there about 2 weeks. Then, to make a long story short, it was a confirmation of how 21st century Moses vision works. Because when they got there, it was amazing to see, just to see what God did through them. They immediately connected with their people. The people that, of course, they never met them in person, but they just got connected with the Burmese people and share the gospel right on the spot. And I was just watching amazing things that God was doing through them. Mm-hmm. Now, these people, my friends, were working with a missions organizations in Myanmar. But these missions organizations were sent by America, United States. So they were Americans, mm-hmm. Anglo-Americans, but they also spoke the Burmese language because they're missionaries there. Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing is, this American missionaries and my friends were all speaking in Burmese except me. So I was left alone, just scratching my head. But they did a partnership right there, and they went out to villages and shared the gospel, led people to Jesus. And it was just amazing. And then I asked these American missionaries, and I wanted to ask the feedback from them. Mm-hmm. And then they said, "Hey, Sammy, it is so different from having American short-term missionaries from America and having this nationals from America to come over here and to speak their own language." And so they said there's so many positive and potentials for this nationals in the United States to come back to their countries, home countries, to do the missions. So that was a confirmation that this 21st century Moses, when they go back to their countries, God will definitely use them in a very powerful way. Now, they can do the same thing here in America because they can relate to, they can minister to their own language groups here, mm-hmm. but also they have so many different people groups here in America as well. So we have a common language, the English, so they can still use the second language, the English, to relate to the people outside of their own people groups. Mm-hmm. So they can use, they can be used both ways, in their home countries and their own people here and the people outside of their own people groups. I saw all that to say the 21st century Moses vision is from the Lord, and he really works and he fulfills that. So I'm very excited about what God is doing already, but what he is going to do in the future.
Well, that's beautiful that the Lord gave you a glimpse of that. And I've seen that as well in India, when we've had Indian nationals go from America with us back to India and be on one of our teams. It is incredibly powerful. Yes, there's an anointing on Americans. They can survive, and they will. They have a ministry model of empowering the indigenous leaders, then it can be very effective. But there is nothing more effective than the indigenous leader. We train every team that we take that we will never, ever go over to replace the indigenous leader, but we will go to lock arms with them and to be the Aaron and the Hurs to the Moses of just providing the support and raising up their arms over their people and just coming underneath them, not replacing them. Praise God that he's shown you that. Pastor, our time's quickly leaving us. I'd love to just know, is there any particular statistic or passage that God just is really using to keep your heart tender for the Lord and for missions right now?
Yes, well, the statistics-wise, I mentioned about the number of Asian churches in North Carolina. There are about 130. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Southern Baptist affiliated churches. So there should be more Asian churches in North Carolina as well. For Asian population, there are about 300,000 to 400,000 Asian Americans living in North Carolina only. And North Carolina is ranked as the third fastest Asian population growing state. So I really do think that there's a great open door to reach out many Asians in North Carolina. Why Asians? I think they're very important because most Asians are from, mostly they're from 1040 windows.
Yes.
The most unreached people groups. Mm-hmm. So I think it will be very, very strategic, even though they're a minority of minorities, mm-hmm. but there's a great potential for them when they hear the gospel and they become 21st century Moses.
You know,
they can go back to their 1040 windows and share the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, they're already doing it. Mm-hmm. Even if they are still here physically, they constantly use Facebook, YouTube to connect with their people. So there's a great, great chance. For example, there's a guy from Thailand. He's been here for almost 30 years. So mm-hmm. he is Thai American.
Mm-hmm.
He still speaks Thai. But he came to Christ about 4 years ago through a mutual friend of mine. He traveled back to Thailand at the same time that I went to Myanmar. But as soon as he went to Thailand, he did nothing but sharing the gospel.
Wow.
Literally. I mean, he shared the gospel every day with everyone that he saw.
Mm-hmm.
But the encouraging part is this. Even when he came back here, he's still connected with this people that he shared the gospel through internet. So he is still doing the Bible study with them online.
Mm-hmm.
And he is sharing the gospel with his own family members online. So it's very, very encouraging. But imagine the impact of this one person. You know, if you mm-hmm. listeners out there, if you reach out to this one Asian person with the mm-hmm. gospel, if that person comes to Christ, that person can bring the gospel back to their home, people groups like no other. We should not overlook this amazing potential for each of this. And then my passage, I mentioned about two passages, Hebrews 10:10 and 11, mm-hmm. 24:25. But in the Old Testament, Ezra 7:10, really hits home because Ezra, he did not only study his the word of God, but he observed it, he kept it, and he taught to the people. So he did the three things, studied and obeyed and taught. So that's something I am practicing in my own life to really discipline myself to be a lover of God's word, but not just a hearer or a lover, but doer of God's word.
Yeah.
And teach and share God's word to other people. And that's what I'm communicating with 21st century Moses to mm-hmm. do likewise. Because you cannot just have passion only. You need to have God's word in your heart. So wherever you go,
yes,
the word of God would come out from your mouth by the power of the Holy Spirit. The other people in their communities, in their home countries would see the power of God's word coming out of their mouth and life. I accept the kind of disciplinary goal for 21st century Moses. And also keep sharing this with my Asian pastors and with my refugee families in my church, which is this RPM, spiritual discipline RPM. R stands for reading. So I encourage people to read the whole Bible at least 5 times. And P is praying. So I encourage people to pray at least 1 hour every day. And M stands for memorization. So I encourage people to memorize at least 365 verses. Now, I collected basic foundational Bible verses, 365 verses, 119 verses on the biblical doctrine, and 119 verses on servant of God.
Mm-hmm.
And another 127 verses on walking with God.
Mm-hmm.
So I collected those 365 verses and encouraging people to do RPM. It's like a spiritual, how to say, the power that really energizes one to grow and move with God's word and fervent prayer and putting God's word in their heart.
That's beautiful. I really appreciate you sharing those encouragements. A couple of things come to mind before we close out the show. One, you mentioned the bridge of just bilinguals for Asians and foreign-born internationals. There's a cool statistic that I came across, and it made it perfect sense whenever I saw it. But 10 years ago, the vast majority of the students in the English as a second language course in America were Spanish-speaking. And now the vast majority are from Asia. And so if you are a brother and sister in Christ and you're just wondering, where can I get started here? Go and help at any English as a second language training program anywhere in your area. There are some nearby all across America. There are English as second language training. And doing so, you could actually be building a bridge in someone's life. Mm. You know, just really giving them the opportunity to become a voice of the gospel. And, you know, I don't know about over in other parts of Asia, but in India, they have really increased their knowledge of English, and they are taught to read English. They're taught to write English, but they're not taught to speak English. And so there is still a major disconnect. They can be reading out of a English book, but they will really hesitate to talk to you in English, because it's so broken. And so there is an opportunity for the gospel by just loving our friends, being a neighbor to foreign-born internationals, and just helping them with their English when they first come over. And in doing so, we're equipping them to become ambassadors for the gospel, obviously, as they take Jesus only for salvation. The second thing is, just in our show opener, we say reaching the foreign-born internationals and partnering with them to fulfill the Great Commission. And I just really appreciate your exhortation in that, the example that you are in that, and your vision for that. Anything else, any practical resources you'd love to share with us before we conclude?
Yeah, sure. 2 months ago, I launched a YouTube channel. It's called the 21C Moses. So under the same vision that I mentioned about 21st century Moses, so you can type up 21C space Moses, and you can find some videos that I posted. So in the channel, there's a daily Bible study. So I post 3 to 5 minutes videos every day, going through verse by verse in the book of Ephesians. So that's the daily Bible study. And also there are some training videos for 21st century Moses to preach the gospel centered preaching. Mm-hmm. And also, there's the video section. It's called God's Story and My Story. And then the first video was done in Burmese. So the Burmese pastor is sharing his personal testimony and three circle gospel presentation in Burmese as well. My prayer is to grow the channel with the videos in different languages for this 21st century Moses to share the gospel, their story and God's story, in their heart language, so that God can use this channel to reach out to the people, not only in the United States, but also in their home countries and whole diaspora world as well. So that's one resource I want to point out.
Yeah, I love that. And we'll put that in the show notes, but thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, what else?
Okay, another one is just a book that really shaped my view about next generation, the second generation diaspora people in the United States. It was written by Paul Tokunaga. He's a third generation Japanese American, but he put his perspective on next generation Asian Americans, but not just Asians, but all the ethnic Americans. Mm-hmm. The name of the book is Invitation to Lead by Intraversity. It's a really good book to understand what this next generation Americans are and how we can grow them as leaders.
I love that.
So it's very practical, theoretical, and also practical. So
yeah.
I want to point out that book as well.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I wonder, before we close out the show, would you be willing to read Revelation 7, 9 through 12 in Korean?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I'd love. Sure. Let me pull out my Bible. In Korean, this is a little bit old Korean. Yeah. So this is like a Korean version of King James.
Okay.
So Revelation 7, 9 through 12. 이 일 후에 내가 보니 각 나라와 족속과 백성과 방언에서 아무도 능히 셀 수 없는 큰 무리가 나와 흰 옷을 입고 손에 종려 가지를 들고 보좌 앞과 어린 양 앞에 서서 큰 소리로 외쳐 이르되 구원하심이 보좌에 앉으신 우리 하나님과 어린 양에게 있도다 하니 모든 천사가 보좌와 장로들과 예생물의 주위에 서 있다가 보좌 앞에 엎드려 얼굴을 대고 하나님께 경배하여 이르되 아멘 찬송과 영광과 지혜와 감사와 존귀와 권능과 힘이 우리 하나님께 세세토록 있을지어다 아멘 하더라. 아멘.
Amen. Pastor Sammy, thank you so much. And may God fulfill that every nation, every tribe, every tongue. That's going to be Americans, it'll be African, it'll be Koreans, it'll be Indians. Praise the Lord. Let it be every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Pastor Sammy, Amen. Continue the good work, praying for you, rooting for you. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. Thanks so much for your time as well.
We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/dream and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We'll randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. Thank you for listening to the Living the Dream podcast, empowering and equipping church staff with an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals and changing the world. You can help us live the dream by liking, commenting, subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find more resources to empower and equip your church staff at globalhopeindia.org/resources. That's globalhopeindia.org/resources.